have that done with. Please help me welcome our next speaker, Rich.
Hi, I'm Rich, and I'm a compulsive reader.
Hi, Rich.
Oh, what's 10 and 15. I want to inadvertently thank my higher power for not allowing there to be a microphone today, because I can speak in physical recovery at this voice. I can speak of the mental obsession in this voice, and I usually talk about spiritual recovery at this voice. So my God is pushing me to speak at full volume today about my higher power. In 1998, after years of working for other people, me and my two best friends started our own company. And on paper, it's everything I wanted, because I no longer had to rely on a jerk boss. I had had jerk bosses my whole life. And after my whole life of working, I got to be the boss. I was free. I no longer had to depend upon somebody above me. For the first time in my life, I was independent. And it was the most freeing experience for the first 13 days, and on the 14th day, payroll was due. And I realized I was more dependent on forces that I had less control over than every jerk boss I had ever had in my life. So from 1998 to 2006, when I finally left that company, I was in a world of misery because I had no boss, and I had no spiritual higher power that I was really relying on to be my boss. And I didn't know that that sense of utter aloneness, that utter fear of, I don't know what's going to happen to me, and I have no one to rely on, I have nothing to rely on, was not the normal feeling that we all had every day, the same way we breathe, the same way we walk, the same way we wake up and go to the bathroom. I didn't know that it could be differently. And I lived with that, just to thinking, that's just how it is. Tough crap, that's how it is. And what I did in that experience is I made one of my partners my higher power. And he loved the opportunity to do it. He loved to basically be my boss. He welcomed it. And what happened in that scenario is, when good things happened, I thought it was fate. And when bad things happened, I blamed him. By some miracle, and mostly because of this program, we're still very close friends today. But it totally relates to my, what I can vaguely, generally, and just by a hair string, call my spiritual program today. I have no memory, growing up Roman Catholic in New York, of believing in God. I have a memory of being in CCD class on Saturday morning, as young as I can be, feeling like we were talking about Santa Claus. I used to always feel like we were talking about Santa Claus. It was so silly to me. And I think it came potentially from the fact that my parents went to, brought me to Mass every Sunday, and I knew from as early as I could that my dad, who I loved to pieces, was being dragged there behind the scenes. My dad didn't want to be there. My dad was doing it because he's some whatever. And I knew my dad didn't believe in what was going on. And I just, for whatever reason, I always picked it up, and I never believed in God. Not even agnostic, nothing. So coming to program was really, really hard. The physical I got, the compulsion I totally understood. I understood that I have a physical addiction to food, that when I put a potato chip in my mouth, my body reacts differently than my wife does, because she can stop. I finish off a bag in 17 seconds. I don't know how to stop. I understand the mental compulsion. I understand that when my wife has a food, like Hershey's Kisses, that she can't stop. She's aware of that, and she knows if she buys a bag, she will eat the whole bag. I have a mental compulsion that this time, if I open the bag and I start the bag, I believe that this time I will stop at 5. And it never happens. But the spiritual was just a kick in the ass every step of the way. And I was told to read We Agnostics, and it was like I could feel the flames in the back of my head. Like, this is what I would tell someone if I wanted them to believe in Santa Claus. I mean, that's how so hardcore I was about it. And it was a fight every step of the way. The only thing that was true that I couldn't, the only proof I had that I couldn't refute when people, sponsors, friends, people with more time than me in the program, I couldn't say anything against this. But people who believed this were losing hundreds of pounds, collectively thousands and tens of thousands of pounds right in front of me, talking like I talked when I talked about the food and finding a solution that I couldn't find. And there are times where my back had been up against the wall before a program where I had asked God, and He didn't listen. He didn't give me what I wanted before a program. Now, the truth is, I, at those times, was not asking God to relieve me of the compulsion. I was not asking God to show me a way that I could eat sanely. I was asking God to let me eat whatever I want and lose 50 pounds overnight. And He was not delivering on that promise. So I just dismissed that. But I finally had to start breaking down when I just had no other options. And I think my lowest point, which is my best point, and a number of people here have heard me, I apologize for repeating, 2006, my company was careening towards bankruptcy. We were personally careening towards bankruptcy, being dragged by it. I was working 15-hour days, miserable, having no idea how we were going to make payroll. I could not stop compulsively overeating because I had no tools to deal with everything that was going on in my life. And I just cracked the door open to believing in a higher power. Just a crack. And the way that I did it for me personally was simply by looking at friends of mine in program who were having wonderful spiritual lives. Maybe their life itself wasn't perfect, but they had a peace that I wanted. And I just started to say, what would a person who believed in God do in this situation? I'm not going to believe in God today. I'm just going to try to take the next step action that someone who believed in God would take today. And it just started to work. And my worst fears about my business all came true. Every bad thing that could have happened, multiplied worse than I thought it would have happened. And I relied on my friends, I relied on my sponsor, and I kept doing the next right action. I removed myself from that situation with grace, with dignity, slowly got out of there, was jobless, found a new situation. It's not perfect. I don't know if it's what I'll do the rest of my life, but it was the next step in front of me. And it's what people who believe in God would do next. And that has allowed me to go, when the question of God comes up, maybe. The first time I said to my wife and I were at dinner, she said it. We were talking with a couple of friends, very anecdotal, talking about something about God, and my wife's like, oh, don't ask the atheist, or something like that. And I said, well, I wouldn't call myself an atheist, and my wife almost fell off the chair. Because for some reason, in that moment, after years of mental debate in my head, the decision to go from atheist to agnostic, if that's what we want to call it, happened without my knowing. It didn't happen in a debate. It didn't happen in a burning bush or a white light. It just happened because I had been doing what other people who believe in God would do for so long and had benefited so much that when it was put to me, it just didn't sound right that I was an atheist anymore, because I suddenly sort of felt like, well, there's got to be something. I don't even know what. And as soon as I started to think 2 seconds past that, I had to shut it down. Because I realized when they say that we have to quit the debating society, that was written for me. And still to this day, I'm driving here today, I'm running late, I make an illegal move, there's a police car right there, he doesn't notice me, and I keep right on going. That is either an interesting coincidence or a sign for my higher power. Now the truth is, immediately my head wants to figure out which it is, and the truth is, it doesn't matter. I took it as a sign for my higher power today, and I drove sanely and soberly the rest of the way here. So it doesn't matter whether it was coincidence, whether it was fate, whether it was a higher power. The point is, I got the message whether it was meant for me or not. You know, and I was thinking about that as I was pulling up here. I always, related it to Santa Claus. And I had this epiphany when I was parking. You know, when I believed in Santa Claus, I got great gifts every year. And when I stopped believing in Santa Claus, I got socks. So it doesn't really matter where it's coming from. It works if I work it. And that's the kick in the ass every single day. I don't want to work it. I'm fundamentally lazy. That's who I am. I want it to be worked for me. You know, when I'm fighting with a food plan, as I often am, I'm debating and debating and debating, but the truth is, I just got to take an action. I just got to pick a food plan and stick to it for the day. I just got to do it. I know what to eat. I've been on every diet. I have all the information in my head. It doesn't matter. I just got to do it. And it's so true when it comes to when I find the willingness to ask my higher power what the next step is. If I don't have the willingness to do that, I have to ask myself, what would someone who believes in God think is the next step? If I can't do that, I have to ask a friend, what would you do in this situation, just the next step? When I can find that willingness, I have the serenity. I have this feeling that I'm not alone anymore. And, you know, there's weight loss and there's being connected to a higher power and finding serenity in your life. I would like both, but if on a day-to-day basis I have to choose one, well, it's a no-brainer, because I thought I only wanted to lose weight, but I came to program to be happy. I just thought the only way in my life I could be happy is if I was thin. Turns out there's other ways, and that's amazing to me. Hopefully they'll go hand in hand, and in many, many cases, with most of my friends, it is true. Because when I'm compulsively overeating, I am blocking the feelings that would normally force me to take the next step towards God. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to do it. So it's procrastination from living my life, and it's adding weight on my body that's unhealthy. It's lose-lose. I don't know where I got it from. It worked for a while. It doesn't work anymore. And yet, it's still my default operating system. That's how I was wired, and I understand that on some level I'll never change that. And every morning when I boot up, if I don't run the program that corrects those operating system errors, I'm going to default right back to, well, you know what, before I have breakfast, I'll have a little something, a snack. Well, you know what, the meal isn't really over, so I'll have a little bit more, because it's technically not over. That's how it starts for me. Today was so bad at work that I could just have a little bit more after dinner. I'm going to call it a dinner. And I'm not exactly going to tell the truth to my sponsor. Or the next day, I'm going to forget to call my sponsor conveniently so I don't have to turn over that food. That's how I sort of veer back. And you know what? That's not laziness. That's fear. That's the fear of dealing with the things in my life that I don't want to deal with, because for 34 years, I couldn't deal with them because I didn't have a higher power. And it's amazing to anyone who can, I applaud you and do whatever you got to do, but I can't deal with life without some feeling that I'm connected to something. And one of the biggest miracles is when I feel connected to something greater than myself, and I believe that each of you are connected to the same thing, by definition, I feel closer to each of you. So instead of going through my life in a bubble, I could be 6 inches from your body, but I was a million miles away. Unless you could help me, and that was a different situation. But for the most part, I was a million miles away. And that was true of strangers, coworkers, you know, my first fiancé, then wife, because I didn't know any different. When I feel connected to something greater than myself and know that each of you are connected to the same higher power, I just start to feel closer. And I don't know if it expresses itself any differently. You'd have to ask my friends. You'd have to ask my wife. You'd have to ask my family. I don't know. But I feel closer. And it feels like a better way to live my life. That's how I want to live my life. I don't know what job it'll be. I don't know whether I'll make a lot of money or whether we're going to have to scrimp and save every week to make rent. I don't know what weight I'm going to be. But I love my new life, which is being closer to the people around me, whether they're strangers, friends, or coworkers. It's a gift that this program gives me when I work the program. And I just need to be reminded that it doesn't happen when I go to 2 meetings a week, forget to call people, the phone rings, I see the caller ID of someone in the program, and I hit ignore. That's a sure sign that I'm slowly going to end up eating a bag of chips. Other people it's drink, other people it's drugs. For me, the more I see a fellow in program call and I hit ignore, the more I'm ignoring my program, the more I'm heading towards that dinner that is not right for me today. It's absolutely cause and effect. And the miracle is when I hit accept, I'm hitting accept. I'm accepting. I'm accepting program. I get on the phone. And the great thing is I can be in the worst physical place, talk to a friend in program about nothing, about TV the night before, about, it doesn't matter, somehow it makes my connection stronger and it makes the next meal a little bit easier to deal with. It's a miracle of program. I so fundamentally want to dissect it and understand it, and I know that it is the surest path for me relapsing again. I know it. I have to fight it every day. So for today, I'm in acceptance. I'm hugely thankful that I was asked to speak, and I'm excited to hear everyone else. Thanks a lot.